Open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. This has been a busy day. Many of you have been up here all day. I can hear you singing that all day long. We've been with Jesus. As we launch the new Sunday school year, we're also going to continue with the theme of being faithful. We've been talking about faithful this year. Early in the year, faithful to attend and faithful to serve. And in August, on the 21st and the 28th, we'll be focusing on being faithful to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And later in the year, we'll talk about being faithful to give. Let's be honest. We as a church have a number of wonderful strengths. Being faithful in the area of personal evangelism, being faithful to share the gospel, is not one of them. We need the Lord to press into us to do better in this work of evangelism, of being faithful to share. And so August 21st and 28th are very important for us. And what I want to do this evening really is set a scripture in your heart and mind that could guide you in praying that we as a people would be faithful to share as we enter into this time. Let me tell you very simply what we're going to do. On the 21st, or first of all, many of you already have some of these bracelets that you picked up, and it says 8:28. So 8:28 in the morning and 8:28 in the evening, between now and August 28th, we're praying that we'd be faithful to share. And I want to give you some help in how to pray in that regard. On Sunday, next Sunday, August 21st, I'm going to do something I've never actually done before in our morning worship services. We're going to give you all a gospel track, and I'm just going to preach through that track next Sunday morning. I'm just going to kind of preach through the track. You can turn the pages. We can talk about how God's Word speaks to us through that track and how the track presents the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then next Sunday, the invitation is not going to be come down. It's going to be go out and share that gospel track with at least one person during the course of the week and lead them to Christ, or share the gospel track with them. And if they're not ready to come to Christ, bring them to church with you on August 28th. And on the 28th, I'll preach an evangelistic sermon connected to that gospel track. So that's how we're going to move forward with things. And there's a text that has been on my heart over the course of this week as I've been praying 8:28. And that is a little text that we've looked at many times before that we find at the end of Matthew chapter 9. And I just want to really remind you of this text. I preached several sermons on Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38 several years ago. And since most of you can't remember what I preached this morning, I don't think it'll hurt to go back. This is such a powerful text. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Let's consider how we can, what's involved in our being pushed out into the harvest field, being more faithful to share. Let me just walk you through this text really with three statements. First of all, from verse 35, we'll be more faithful to share if we are confident in the gospel. Jesus was going through the cities and villages, teaching and healing, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus had this threefold ministry of teaching and healing, and the emphasis is always on proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And we share in that ministry of proclamation. To proclaim the good news of the kingdom. To proclaim is to do the work of a herald. It's carrying the message. It's not composing the message, creating the message. It's not even instructing or persuading. It's heralding the message that focuses on an event, on what's been done for us, what Jesus Christ has done for us. Not an idea, but an event, a reality. Proclaiming the text says in verse 5, proclaiming the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Like a messenger declaring victory. Declaring, verse 35 says, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. So declaring the good news of the rule of God, how God is on his throne. He has not abandoned this old broken world, but in Christ Jesus, he is setting things right. Jesus is the King, and he's come to set things right, to bring about justice and peace and freedom, rescue from fear and death, domination of sin, damnation from sin. Jesus came proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And as we are faithful to share, it's important that we're confident in that same gospel message that Jesus brought. You know, sometimes we're passive because we feel helpless. We've lost confidence in the gospel. We know people who are struggling. We see people whose lives are fraying. But we think we don't have anything to offer them. And we're silent sometimes, passive, because we've convinced ourselves that we're helpless. When Paul said, I can't wait to get to Rome, because when I get to Rome, I'm going to proclaim the gospel. And he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. When Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, he's not saying I'm not shy. He's not talking about his own boldness. He's not saying I'm bold, I'm not shy, I'm not ashamed. The text does not say I am not ashamed to proclaim the gospel. The text says I am not ashamed of the gospel. The point being that Paul knew that the good news of Jesus Christ would not disappoint. It would not fail to have an impact on the lives of the people who heard it. He had confidence in the gospel. And we will be more faithful to share when we have that kind of confidence in the gospel. People are broken. We're living in a broken world. And the gospel is the fix. It's the thing that sets people right. Listen, I'll confess to you, just week before last, I was talking to a man in his 30s from Europe. He's been in the United States 10 years. And I realized he didn't know Christ. And I was working on this track that I'm going to share with you Sunday. I had it on my desk, and I just picked it up and sat beside him and just read that gospel tract to him, page by page. And when I got finished, I said, do you understand that? Have any questions? He said, yeah, I understand. And I'm thinking, honestly, I'm thinking, it can't be this simple. I said, would you like to pray and make a commitment to Christ? Yes, I would. He prayed and made a commitment to Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ has changed his life. And sometimes we get so caught up in lesser things that we lose focus on the fact that the gospel is powerful to save. Confident in the gospel. Like Jesus, we go proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Look at verse 36. We'll be faithful to share when we're confident in the gospel and when we're compassionate toward lost people. Strong language here in verse 36. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. That word compassion is not a heart word, it's a gut word. So sometimes we talk about our emotions with heart language, being heartbroken or heart sick or being moved at the depths of our heart. And the Bible uses that kind of vocabulary from time to time. But that's not this word. This is a gut word. Like gut-wrenching, punched in the gut, it makes me sick kind of word. An impact that impacts us deeply, intensely, a visceral impact that always carries with it a little bit of anger, outrage. And what we learn here is that when Jesus saw the people, it was for him gut-wrenching. He was moved with compassion. Because, look, they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. That word distressed means that they were plundered without pity. They were mangled. It's a word that speaks to violence. They were dispirited. They were thrown down with no capacity to recover. Like sheep without a shepherd. They're vulnerable, abused, and doomed. Like sheep without a shepherd. That's language that speaks to the failure of leaders. That sin has not only corrupted individuals, it's corrupted the powers and principalities that be. It's corrupted our government and our religious institutions, and leaders that should be taking care of people aren't taking care of people. Sin is not just an individual reality, but it's a societal reality. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They're vulnerable, and the people that ought to be watching out for them are not watching out for them. And all of this moves Jesus with compassion, anger toward the shepherds and the predators, and compassion for the people. He feels compassion for them. One of the things that moves us to be faithful to share is if we live remembering what it was like to be lost. And some of you here in this room who are the most consistent and faithful in doing the work of evangelism, it's because you remember what it was like to be lost. Some of you here in this room who are less faithful and consistent in sharing the gospel, it's because you don't remember what it was like to be lost. It was a long time ago. Maybe you were saved when you were a child. You know, there are two kinds of memory. There is personal memory and there is scriptural memory. And brothers and sisters, even if you don't have a personal memory of what it was like to be lost, you can read the Bible. And the Bible tells you what it's like to be lost. It's to be harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. It's to be dead in your trespasses and sins. And listen, your neighbor without Jesus, I don't care how nice a car they drive or how well they dress. I don't care if they smile or if they look strong. here's what you know. If they don't know Jesus, they are distressed and cast down like a sheep without a shepherd. They are broken. And they're living in a broken world. And they need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll be faithful to share if we're confident in the gospel, if we're compassionate toward lost people, and if we're compelled by the Lord of the harvest. Look at verse 36, 37 and 38. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." We're always blaming lost people for being lost. We're always blaming the harvest. But Jesus challenges his disciples to embrace responsibility for the harvest. In fact, Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful." He uses the word harvest three times here in those two short little verses. Harvest, harvest, harvest. It's vast. It's vulnerable. It's valuable. The harvest is plentiful. The word harvest implies that it's not going to last long. Can't leave it in the field forever. And it's valuable. These men and women who live in our neighborhoods that we work with or go to school with, they have value to the Lord. And so Jesus says, therefore, pray, ask, beseech, beg the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his field. Ekbalo, to cast out. It's the word to throw, to cast with the prefix ex, out. It's a word that the New Testament uses to describe Jesus casting out demons. Did you hear about the two little boys that one was a preacher's kid and they were playing church and they were shouting, and mama asked, "What are you doing?" And the little boy said, "I'm casting out some deacons." You know what? Jesus says right here that we should pray that the Lord of the harvest would cast out some deacons. Did you see that? To send out is the same idea. It's a word that means to drive out, to push out, to draw out with violence, to jerk out, to force out. And it's a word that implies our reluctance. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out, to cast out workers into his harvest field. And so Jesus here does not say pray for the lost people. We're going to talk about that Wednesday night. That's important. But the first thing that comes to Jesus' mind is pray that my disciples would be pushed out into the harvest. Be faithful to share. Lord, push us out. Cast us out into your field. Now, that's a dangerous prayer to pray. I think that the Lord will first thrust us out by his Spirit and Word. He will push us out by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the truth of God's Word. He will push us out hoping that we'll be motivated by faith in the gospel and love for lost people and obedience to his Word. He'll push us out by his Spirit and his Word. If we continue to stubbornly refuse, then he has other means of answering that prayer. I think of Acts chapter 8. which tells us that even though Jesus had said to his disciples, go unto the nations and make disciples, they were staying in Jerusalem. And they didn't scatter with the gospel. They didn't get out into the harvest field until a great persecution came. And as they were scattered, they went proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. You know that our blessed Lord Jesus is strong enough to push us out into his harvest field. And it would be better if we would respond to his Holy Spirit and to his word, that we'd be pushed out through faith and love and obedience. But this is the prayer we're called to pray. Lord, push us out into your harvest field. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray for 10 minutes. Isn't it a little absurd that sounds like a long time? And you might pray alone in your seat. I encourage many of you to come forward here and kneel. You don't have to come and kneel here for 10 minutes, but come and kneel for part of the time at the altar. I'll be up front, and Brother Ray Griffin will be up front, and Wade will be up front, and Jerry will be up front. In fact, the four of us will sit on these four front pews. And if you want to pray with us or need to make a public response, then just come and sit next to us on one of these pews. But mainly it's a time of prayer. You can pray alone. You can pray with family or friends around you. You can voice prayer or pray silently. But let's take about 10 minutes and pray, specifically that we would be faithful to share, that we'd be confident in the gospel and compassionate toward lost people and compelled into the harvest. And then after that 10 minutes of prayer together, then I'll voice prayer and we'll be dismissed. Let's pray together now. Linda will play a little bit and we'll enter now into this season of prayer. Father, we praise you because you are the author of salvation. You loved us, delivered your Son Jesus Christ up for us to bring redemption and forgiveness of sin, new life in the power of the Holy Spirit. We praise you because you alone are worthy to be praised, God our Savior. And as we bow in your presence, Father, we are aware of the sinfulness of our silence. And we ask that you'd forgive us. Forgive us for being so distracted, so busy with lesser things. Forgive us our fear, our complacency, our disobedience, our distrust. Father, we confess that far too often we have failed to be confident in the gospel. We've lacked compassion for people. And as your Holy Spirit has compelled us to share the good news, we've been disobedient. And I ask, Father, that you'd forgive us. I pray that you'd forgive me. I pray, Father, that you'd cleanse us as we repent of this sin of silence, that you'd cleanse us and set us right with you. Forgive us, Father. We give you thanks for the opportunities that you've set before us to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for the neighbors, even now, that you bring to our mind. For our family members and friends who do not know Christ, for whom you're giving us a burden, and you're opening up opportunities for us to share. We thank you, Father, for the freedom we have to share the good news of Jesus Christ without risk or threat from authorities. And I pray, Father, that you would thrust us out into the harvest field, even this week, Father, that you would open our eyes to see people, be aware of their spiritual needs, that you would open our mouths to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to share our testimony, to speak to them about the death and resurrection of Jesus, and to encourage people to turn from sin and trust in Christ as Savior. Father, I pray for our ministers and for our Sunday school teachers, for our deacons and other leaders, that we would lead in this regard, Father. That as you thrust us out into the field, we'd be faithful and bold witnesses. And we pray, Father, for August 28th. We pray that that Sunday would be a Sunday when we come bringing in the sheaves, that we come with friends and neighbors that we've led to Christ, friends and neighbors that we've already sown the seeds of the gospel in their hearts and minds, that we would bring people with us as we gather to publicly profess their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to hear and respond to the gospel. We ask, Father, that you would give us a great day of harvest on that Sunday, and that you'd use that to compel us to continue to go out into your harvest fields and share the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that when we were lost, you came for us. That when we had not heard the gospel, one of your people shared the good news with us. And I pray, Father, that we would be faithful to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the praise and the glory of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.